The following program is brought to you in living color.
You see this earth? It's been resting. Now it's good. Someday I'm going to buy this land and I'm going to make a great wine. But here on this wreck of a vineyard.
It's the Wine Crush, presented by Wines Till Sold Out at WTSO.com. Fine wines, great prices, one at a time. WTSO.com. Now, here's the vixen of the vineyard, Laura Lawson.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay guzzling diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape in all its glory, all the vine, all the tine, everything you could ever want to know about wine. That's what we're here for. We are your media resource for everything about our friend, the grape. Yes, harvest is progressing nicely. Our grapes are diminishing on the vine, and slowly but surely they are becoming that beloved beverage and sitting in tanks and waiting to be released in a couple of years so they can satisfy our palates. That's actually a good thing. We are thinking warm, soothing, great thoughts today. At least we're trying to think soothing thoughts today. We're not going to get sidetracked. We're not going to get tangentialized. We are not going to go where we went last week. We're just not.
We're just kind of leaning back and smoking a cigarette after last week.
Kent. What am I going to do?
That was a pretty racy show last week.
It was yes. And
talk about naked.
We definitely got some commentary. And to say racy, yes, that's very appropriate for you to use that word. But last week was a fun show, and it took a good look at the interesting side of marketing. And it kind of led me to dig down a little bit. So today we are going to look at what's in the bottle and what it means to the consumer. But it seems like, despite last week's show, the uproar and the avalanche that's been caused is still about pricing. People are still curious about pricing. I'm still getting emails daily about what it means to their bottles. How much more should they stock up now? So we do have a guest who can help us a little bit further with that. We have Kathy Busowitz. She's a staff writer from the Press Democrat, and she is going to definitely affirm that wine prices are increasing, and we're going to discuss that a bit. So that will maybe give us a little bit of insight to that. But before we get there, I do have my wine recommendations this week, and I had to give a little hats off to last week's show. And one of the wines I have picked, one, I absolutely do adore the wine, and I've recommended different wines from this winery before, but the story just seemed to tie in well. The wine recommendation is Rodney Strong Sonoma County Chardonnay, and this is an absolutely fabulous value for what it is. It sees malolactic fermentation. It sees 60% oak. This thing is just rich, well-balanced, ripe, absolutely wonderful. It is the opposite of a naked wine. But I cannot think of this wine without thinking of Rodney Strong himself. Rodney Strong was a man. He was a ballet dancer. In fact, he was an extraordinarily famous ballet dancer, like a Michelle Baryshnikov kind of famous dancer. And it was infamously funny. Of course, ballet dancers, they have to get on stage in their tights, and they have to wear the very tight outfits. And a lady after performance was talking to Rod, and she said, "My, it must have been very, very cold on the stage." And Rod just turned and looked at her and says, "Oh, well, you needed your opera glasses to get a full grasp of the whole situation." So as he appeared naked on stage, he does have some fun with that. But it made me think of last week's show. If I had been quick on the draw, that would have been my wine recommendation. So Rodney Strong Sonoma County Chardonnay is your white wine recommendation. And red wine, I am back to playing well with others. I am. I know we try and stay varietally correct around here, but I did find some interesting facts. Red blends currently account for 8.4% of all domestic wine sold in the United States. Blends have increased to 8.4. If we had looked at this figure probably 3 years ago, it would have been maybe 5%, maybe 3%. And when I say blends, I mean true blends. I mean the Meritage. I mean the wines getting together that don't say Cab, Merlot, Pinot, don't say anything on the front of it. True, honest blends. And because of that, granted, the figure just came out, it's probably the direct response to all of you running out and following my advice and buying the red blends. That's the only answer it could be. I figured I'd go along that track and recommend probably one of the best red blends I have had in the last 6 months. And when I say best, obviously, I'm not just talking for the price point, anything else. This wine is outstanding. It's called Exodus, E-X-I-T-U-S. In Latin, that means departure. I'd like to take an Exodus from the studio some days. But Exodus is a blend. It's a blend of Cabernet. It's a blend of Petite Sirah. It is a blend of all of our favorite red wines put together. Central Coast Syrah, Petite Syrah, Lake County Merlot. Very, very elegant. Blackcurrant, a lot of cherry. Very, very extracted, very deep. And what I like about it, it's drinkable now. You don't have to let it sit and wait. You don't have to let it hang out on the counter and breathe. You don't have to really do anything with it but pour in the glass and enjoy it. It's even got a really cool package. And, you know, I'm not usually into the marketing. I try and stay away from things. But this thing is just really iconic in how it looks. So I would suggest this is Central Coast. It's called Exodus. Actually, it's Central Coast. It's Lake County. It's Mendocino. So it's not just a blend of varietals. It's a blend of regions. So it's a blend all the way around. Definitely worth you finding. Once again, Exodus, meaning take a departure. Take a departure from what you're usually drinking. I wonder if that's their marketing slogan. I wonder if that's what they're into. I know Kent would like to take an Exodus from the show some days.
Come to where the flavor is. Remember that?
No. What is that?
That was a Marlboro. That was a cigarette thing, but I thought it'd be great for a wine.
Come to where the flavor is?
Come to where the flavor is.
Chances are Marlboro has that trademarked.
Chances are.
Are you? Did you start smoking again?
No, you've already
talked about it at the very front of the show. Everyone's sitting back, relaxing, having a cigarette. Now you're on a Marlboro commercial.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't know. Do I need to start throwing things
over
at
that.
You?
No. I'm fine.
I really wish you'd stay focused. I can't take another show like last week. So
I'll do my best.
Thank you. Let's move on. So we have your wine recommendations. We're looking at the idea of wine and what's in the package, and there were two interesting things that happened, and it's always symbiotic how these things work out. The idea, I had read an article, and the article said, Restaurants Uncork a Return to California Flavors. This was out of San Francisco Gate. Very nice article written by Tara Dugan. And the headline just caught my eye. Restaurants Uncork a Return to California Flavors. Now, I think some of you know I do a fair amount of restaurant consulting, working on wine list, trying to make every side happy. We all know what happens when you try and make every side happy. Nobody is happy. The sommeliers aren't happy. The consumers aren't happy. The money people aren't happy. So you wind up just trying to find a balance of everything. But it made me really stop and think about a person who knows enough about wine to be dangerous going into a restaurant. I'm going to present two point and counterpoints on this. The first, I recently helped consult with a wine list. Very, very, very big restaurant. And they're predominantly steaks. And as you look at their wine list, they were obsessed at looking for Sancerres. They wanted South African Sauvignon Blancs. They wanted Pinotage. They wanted French Pinot Noirs. They wanted all these highfalutin, very trendy, very specific regional wines. And it really made me stop and think, if I'm going to this restaurant, I want half a cow on my plate. I want a very large piece of beef. And if I'm going to have a big piece of beef, then a delicate French Pinot Noir is not going to be what I have in mind. Same for a South African Sauvignon Blanc. There's a time and place for all these wines, but it seemed that by the time I got done trying to work on that wine list and work with these people, it became very clear to me that the intent of the wine list had nothing to do whatsoever with the everyday 80% diner that was coming in the restaurant. There were other factors at play. And so it made me step back thinking, how many restaurateurs, how many retailers are putting together wine programs? Are they putting together displays based on something besides what the consumer wants? Now, let's face facts. The consumer doesn't necessarily always know what they want. The counterpoint to this was a few minutes ago, I got called on the carpet. I got called upstairs, and for once, I wasn't in trouble, which is just absolutely flabbergasting to me. I wasn't going to get my handed to me. Mm-hmm. But the reason why I was pulled upstairs was this person, who knows a fair amount about wine, drinks wine on a daily basis, had received several wines as a gift. And they wanted to ask me, what's the story on these wines? What do you know about these wines? I think ultimately what they were looking at is the person who gave me, really giving me a sincere gift, Or are they just passing off crap wines that
were
have been at
home? Were they unloading stock?
Yes, were they unloading some things? And it's terrible, but yes, I do help with that occasionally. And ultimately, I was looking at the wines, and one was a Rutherford Cabernet, the other was a Napa Valley Cabernet, the other was a Russian River Cabernet, and all three of these were single estate. There was an amazing Priorat wine. There was a Rosé, Pinot Noir Rosé Saignée. I mean, these were some outstanding wines. But outside of the Priorat, these were all California wines. From Russian River, from Rutherford, from Napa. These are wines that when you have just enough wine knowledge, you sit back, you know the regions, and you know they're good. So this is someone who is wine savvy looking at these bottles. Of course, I'm not going to throw the dig in that he actually does produce and sponsor the Wine Crush, so he should have known about wines if he had listened to the show. But he had questions on these. So when you take the two ideas together, when you take a person working on a wine retail or a wine restaurant program that's looking for out-of-the-way, strange, unheard-of wines, to someone who knows about wines, looking at wines that are really fairly straightforward and common, Napa Valley, Rutherford, that really most wine people know, you really see where the gaping chasm between the two of them is. If one's writing for themselves and the other one's just seeking to understand, how are we ever going to get together and figure out great programming and make both the consumer, the retailer, and the restaurateur happy? So it just really, really hit home to me. I mean, Kent, you get this. You halfway listen to the show most of the time.
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes. But when you go to a restaurant and you're going to sit down, are you going to look for offbeat, strange things? I'm talking about the restaurant menu now. I'm not talking about the wine list.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to sit down and look at that restaurant menu and say, oh, Argentinian Brussels sprouts done in a leek sauce. I've never had that. Gee, I'll try that.
No.
How often do you go to a restaurant and decide you're going to experiment?
Like almost never.
Do you think that holds true for the general populace?
I think so.
I know.
Especially men.
Well, man, y'all, meat and potatoes.
Sure.
But I can't say a word. I'm a meat and potatoes person, too. So what we're going to investigate today is the whole dining experience. We're going to take it from top to bottom. We're going to analyze it and see what we can do to get everybody on the same page. However, before we start, we're going to take a quick break, listen to some commercials, and when we come back, hopefully all of us will have our wits and thoughts about us to endeavor into this investigation.
Stay with us for more of The Wine Crush, presented by Wines Till Sold Out at WTSO.com.
Do you love discovering great wines and finding a great value at the same time? Then you need to discover Wines Till Sold Out. Wines Till Sold Out features great wines at 30 to 70% off. Wines Till Sold Out searches all over the world for the best wines. They buy exclusively for their members. It's free to join, shipping is included, and you'll find expert customer service if you ever decide you need it. There's a great offer waiting for you as we speak. Go to WTSO.com. Fine wines, great prices, one at a time.
Have you heard? Proactive is America's top acne system because it's fast and gentle, and it's all about prevention. So stay tuned for a chance to participate in a 60-day trial to prove it. Do you have troubled skin, acne? With Proactive, you can heal your acne and help prevent new breakouts. Right now, in this radio area, we're looking for just 50 people with moderate acne to demonstrate exactly how fast Proactive works. The first 50 callers who qualify can try Proactive risk-free for 60 days. And you get our dermatologist's clear skin or it's free guarantee. Plus, the trial includes our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free. Be one of the 50 lucky people to complete this 60-day risk-free trial. You won't see this offer in stores or on TV. It's a radio exclusive. Supplies are limited and the trial offer ends soon.
800-489-1639. 800-489-1639. 800-489-1639.
How would you like to win all your groceries for a year absolutely free? You can, thanks to PRN, AARP, and Nationwide Insurance in the Win Groceries for a Year sweepstakes. It's easy to enter. Just go to goprn.com/fans, fill out the information, and soon we may be calling to tell you you've won free groceries for a year. No purchase necessary, must be 18 or older, official rules online or by mail if requested. Win groceries for a year at goprn.com.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking. You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing. You're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know, I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Now it's more of the Wine Crush, brought to you by Wines Till Sold Out, WTSO.com.
Welcome back to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Today what we're going to do is parse down the idea of the dining experience. We're going to look at things from a consumer point of view and see if we can't find a mid-ground between those that are creating the dining experience and those that are experiencing it. Before the break, Kent and I were talking about the idea when you go into a restaurant, very, very rarely are you looking to try something you've never tried before. By the time you hit a certain age, I'm going to go ahead and say 30, because I'm a firm believer you don't have a whit of sense until you turn 30. You know what you like. You know what you dislike. I know that I love steak. I know that I love macaroni and cheese. I know that I absolutely love great salads. I know that I absolutely hate Brussels sprouts. I know that I absolutely 100% despise beets. There are certain things that I wouldn't care if they were gold-plated, came with the most expensive glass of wine. You could not do anything to get me to eat a Brussels sprout. It's just not going to matter. I'm not a big artichoke fan either. Sorry. So because of that, when I sit down at a restaurant, I pretty much know what I am looking for. My palate is set. My taste buds are set. So I'm not going to branch out. Yes, we all know restaurants have specials. But if you think about it, your specials are usually, at least I hope, there's some kind of seafood. There's some kind of fish. There's something usually that has a time limit on it so that you know it's relatively fresh. Ultimately, when it comes to your eating, you don't like to experiment. I'm giving you that pause because some of you are sitting there going through in your mind, and right now you're arguing, oh, well, I love Thai food, and I love Chinese food, and I love this, and I absolutely love Mexican food, and I love French food, so I do experiment. I like all this. You can like all kind of different flavors. You can like all different types of food, but ultimately, you're lying if there aren't three things that come to mind instantly that you absolutely abhor, and it doesn't matter what nationality or how it's served up or how it's chopped up, are you going to eat it? You're lying if you say otherwise. So let's go ahead and assume that that parameter has been established. There is a set pattern of food of what you're going to eat and what you're not going to eat. Check. We are not Anthony Bourdain. We are not going around the world eating strange things that are still moving.
Mm-hmm.
So having said that, going into these restaurants, knowing what you're going to eat, isn't it just as likely that you're going to have an idea of what you want to drink? Aren't you going to think, I want a Cabernet, I want a Merlot, I want something soft, I want something sweet, I want something dry? you're going to have some kind of experience. You have a set taste profile. Let me give you an idea of the conglomerate we. In the United States, 89% of Americans drink American wines. 92% of the total volume of cases sold in the U.S. are United States wines. So basically, we are looking as Americans, 90% of us drink locally, drink American wines. So if you go to a restaurant, that is generally what you're going to drink. It's what you're going to ask for. It's what you're going to be served, at least you hope. Now, let's look at the counterpoint to this. You have restaurateurs and retailers that particularly in the last 3 and 4 years have been desperately expanding their import selections. They want to make sure that they have South African Sauvignon Blancs. They want to make sure that they have Argentinian Malbecs. They want to make sure that they have French Sauvignon Blancs in the form of Sancerre. They want to make sure they have Pouilly Fumés. They want to make sure they have Pouilly Fousés. They want to make sure that they have the Poulies covered, all the Montrachets covered. They want to make sure that they have the Echezos, the Bordeaux, the Clairets covered, which I think is great. I think it's lovely to offer a selection. But when you're sitting down at a restaurant and your American section continues to get cut and cut and cut because there are other great import wines that people need to be drinking, doesn't that pose a problem to you? I mean, let's face facts. If you want a steak and a baked potato, it is much cheaper for you to go to your local Megamart, pick up a filet, pick up a potato, take it home and cook it yourself. We eat out for luxury and for experience. We want to be catered. We want to be waited on. We pay for the privilege of someone else cooking that steak and cooking that potato and putting it in front of us. So that being said, shouldn't we have that same luxury of being able to look for my favorite California Cabernet, my favorite California Chardonnay, or something comparable on a list without having to go through 15 pages of wines, and I'm going to go ahead and say it and take the fire of it, that are being put on wine lists, are being put on retail shelves so that wine program guides, so that wine masters, so that people who are running the programs can feel good about their list and can tell everybody, I have a perfectly balanced list. Have you had the Snob Appeal Sancerre, and do you feel good about it? What are your thoughts on this? Call me, 877-4-CRUSH-1, or email me directly at lauralawson@winecrush.com. Are the wine lists for you, or are they being written for the individuals writing them? Hey, we're going to take a quick break right here, but when we return, we will have Kathy Busowitz joining us from the Press Democrat. Great Grape does not have to cost an arm and a leg. I want to tell all of my Wine Crush listeners about Wines Till Sold Out. Wines Till Sold Out offers great wines at 30 to 70% off. Go to WTSO.com now to see the current deal. Juicy reds, crisp whites, champagne, and of course, Chardonnay. Wines Till Sold Out has all of your favorite varietals and favorite vintages from around the world. Plus, shipping is always free, and you'll find unmatched customer service. WTSO.com. Fine wines, great prices, one at a time.
Hear that? That's an engine running with Z-Max. Z-Max delivers ultimate engine performance you can hear and feel every time you drive. With Z-Max in your tank, you'll experience a smoother running, more powerful, better protected engine. And you'll see big savings from improved gas mileage. Take it from Max. Nothing works like Z-Max. Log on to ZMAX.com today and find the Z-Max retail performance partner near you.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
We're back with more of The Wine Crush, brought to you by Wines Till Sold Out. WTSO.com.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Right now, we are having a chance to chat with Miss Kathy Busowitz, staff writer for the Press Democrat. Kathy, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, this is an absolute delight. It's nice to have a voice of reason. It's nice to hear a female voice. It's been a while since we had a couple females on the show. So this will be refreshing. I'm surrounded by testosterone, so I'm looking forward to this. Well, let's start here. For our listeners, Kathy, you are a first-time guest on The Crush. Give our listeners a little bit of background. Who is Kathy?
Sure. Well, I've been covering the wine industry here at the Press Democrat for about a year in Sonoma County. So I focus on Sonoma County and the North Coast, which is a beautiful part of the country. Before that, I covered government, and when the wine beat opened up here at the Press Democrat, I thought, hey, that would be a great job. So so here I am, and it's been a lot of fun learning about the wine industry.
Well, no, then you are the perfect person for today's show. Obviously, you're on the show because we're going to talk a little bit about wine prices, but I'm kind of wrap this all up. You're walking into a show where we're discussing the idea of the vast chasm between the consumer and the retailers and the restaurateurs. Retailers and restaurateurs are designing wine lists that are complicated, that have a lot of categories, that have a lot of appellations, that have a lot of regions, that have a lot of imports. When you look at the consumer and the buying trend of the consumer, 90% of them drink American wines. So what we had started talking about beginning of the show is try and find a common ground. So believe it or not, I'm going to tie all of this together before we get through, but it'll be interesting to get your input here and there. So let's start here. A couple of the other shows we have done, we have discussed the potential for wines going up. We have all made predictions on wine going up, but you are actually here to tell us that wine prices are indeed inching up, correct?
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing from the experts. So yeah, it seems not on a grand scale, but little by little, yeah, it does seem to be the case.
So you're seeing it already, especially in Sonoma and the regions you're around. If you had to guess, it's kind of fun talking to someone who's a year in doing this. What do you think the impact of this is going to be on Sonoma and on wine?
Well, it seems that, you know, really for wineries around Sonoma County and the North Coast and Napa, I mean, prices have gone up, you know, the price to make the wine. So really what I think we're seeing is just a way for the wineries to sort of recoup some of that that those increasing costs. And so it's kind of important for them in terms of keeping their business going. There have been a number of years of discounted wines during the recession, so I think it's a welcome change for the wine industry up here to see that they're able to charge a little bit more for the wine.
Are you seeing any consumers balking? Your personal opinion, if your favorite wine goes up, are you going to continue to buy that wine?
You know, I don't know. It depends on how much. I mean, it sounds like people are seeing like maybe $1 here or $2 there, not necessarily huge increases. But, you know, I think there's really so much, so many options out there. There's still so many low-priced wines, and, you know, it's, I guess it depends on how high prices go.
Okay, well, let's tie all this together. Now, you said you were new getting into the wine industry. Are you an avid diner? Do you go out? Do you drink wine when you're at your restaurants?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'd love to.
Okay, so as a consumer, you definitely go out. Now, with prices inching up in the restaurants that you're going to, do you see wine lists starting to change? Are they changing to reflect the price increases? Do you see the list changing so that maybe there's other offerings coming in so that they can continue to be value? What do you think as far as that goes?
You know, I'm not an expert on restaurant wine lists. I don't know for sure, but
hey, there's nobody. No matter how you look at it, there is no such thing as an expert on restaurant wine lists. I don't care how many sommelier. I don't care if you're a master of wine, you're a master sommelier. I don't care if you've been doing it 30 years. I don't care if you're a consultant. There's no such thing as an expert. There's only an opinion, and that's what I'm looking for from you.
That's true. I mean, I think that you do tend to see wines coming from lower-priced regions in California, maybe a little bit more than in the past. But yeah, I mean, I guess it's I think it's what I'm hearing is it's really subtle changes at this point.
When you go out to eat, are you shopping price or are you shopping what you want to drink?
Oh, I think probably both.
Okay. See, it's one of those things, when I go out and I look at a wine list, I'm thinking about, since the price is going up, is it going to affect the fact that no matter where I go, I'm going to drink Lara Chardonnay? Unfortunately, no, I'm a Lara Chardonnay fanatic. I will always drink it. I will pay for the right to drink it. So the pricing's not going to bother me. What's going to bother me is when people take Lara Chardonnay off the list because they feel it's too expensive and want to replace it with, say, a Chardonnay from Australia. Does something like that ever make a difference to you, or does that make sense? Especially being in Sonoma, I would imagine this is something you may or may not see.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess it would be disappointing to see certain wines fall off restaurant lists if that happens. I hadn't thought about it that way, but that's a good point.
I think that's going to be one of the things we start seeing, because something that I was advocating earlier, that when you look at some of these restaurant wine lists, and you have some outstanding restaurants and some great sommeliers around you, you find a lot of times that there's always these 10 strange bottles on a wine list, that it doesn't matter how educated you are about wine, you look at those 10 strange bottles and say, why are those bottles there and what are they? Doesn't matter whether you've been in the business a year or 100 years, they're always there. My question on those wines, are they there because the sommelier, the person who's making the wine list, because they like them and feel like they need them to be there, or because they hope people will buy them? I think as we start seeing prices increase, that we're going to see more of those little pet wines. Do you think that it's because people are looking for value, or are you thinking because restaurants are scared of the price increases and want to give the idea of a perceived value?
I don't know. I mean, I think it possibly could be both. I mean, one of the winemakers I talked to who works with a lot of restaurants, he's just concerned about making sure his wines stay on those lists. And, you know, that's what the wineries are concerned about. I haven't really talked to the restaurant owners to see what their take is on it, though.
But see, that's why it's fun to talk to the winery side. You wrote in your article, for the domestic table wine category, all price segments above $9 are growing with the strongest growth seen in $20 and above. That was a quote you took from someone.
Yeah.
Is that growth because the wines, that's what people are buying, that they're starting to buy $20 wines? Or do you think it's because some of their favorites have started to increase and are now hitting that $20 mark?
I really think that both are happening. I mean, it sounds like really like the prices are going up a little bit, and really demand has been growing for wine. It hasn't necessarily slowed down. So I think you're seeing both, and I think consumers are more confident and a little less worried about the economy than they were before. So I think there are more people that are willing to pay for that $50 bottle of Cabernet Sauvignon or whatever their favorite cult wines are. So that's a change that some people in the industry see as refreshing, I'm sure.
Oh, I honestly, you know, you can look at it from both sides. You wrote it from Sonoma side about the wineries being excited about it, but from the consumer side, I'm curious to see what's going to happen. Hey, Kathy, we have to take a quick break right here. Do you mind hanging out through some commercials and we'll look at this a little bit further after this break?
Sure, sounds good.
Okay, quick moment here on The Crush. When we return, we will take a harder look at pricing, wine lists, and how they all fit together.
We'll have more of The Wine Crush, presented by WTSO.com.
Do you love discovering great wines and finding a great value at the same time? Then you need to discover Wines Till Sold Out. Wines Till Sold Out features great wines at 30 to 70% off. Wines Till Sold Out searches all over the world for the best wines. They buy exclusively for their members. It's free to join, shipping is included, and you'll find expert customer service if you ever decide you need it. There's a great offer waiting for you as we speak. Go to WTSO.com. Fine wines, great prices, one at a time.
Do you have dark circles or puffy eyes? If you have dark circles under your eyes, bags, or puffiness, we're looking for you. Because right now, we're sending free jars of a fast-acting eye cream to listeners of this station. You heard right. Every listener who calls now will learn how to get a free jar of Lumitone, the cream that fades dark circles from view in seconds. You only pay shipping and handling. We only have a limited supply of free jars, so don't wait. For details, just call 1-800-487-9517. Lumitone makes dark circles less visible in seconds. Watch your dark circles fade from view like magic. And Lumitone is great for puffiness, bags, and fine lines by the eyes. This free giveaway is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Call us now for details on this Lumitone free offer. Just call 1-800-487-9517. That's 1-800-487-9517. Call 1-800-487-9517.
You've been hearing a lot about Z-Max lately, and you're wondering, what is Z-Max? Z-Max goes into your engine, fuel system, and transmission, and improves performance as it removes harmful deposits, cleans your engine's internal components, reduces engine wear, increases horsepower, and improves gas mileage. Use Z-Max in your new or used car or truck and feel a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. Got it? Get it today. You'll wonder how you ever drove without Z-Max. Available at all major automotive retail stores. Check out Z-Max.com. Z-Max, performance you can feel.
Mozartoasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you realize how impactful your kids involvement in the arts can be. They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Now more of Laura Lawson and the Wine Crush. Brought to you by Wines Till Sold Out at WTSO.com.
Welcome back to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Right now we are online with Kathy Busowitz from the Press Democrat. Kathy, are you still with us?
I sure am.
All right, before the break, we were kind of touching on the idea of the difference of prices increasing and things going up, looking at it from a consumer point of view, a restaurant point of view. But I do want to introduce another point of view, and it's something you hit home with very much in your article. The idea that the winery owners finally are starting to see some revenue. And I'm going to go ahead and state this out there. I have no problem with these wines increasing. I know that they are increasing not because of inflation, not because of people being greedy, but I think we're going to spend the next 18 months seeing some of these fantastic wines that were sold less almost than they could be made so these wineries could stay in business, basically evening out to where they were supposed to be begin with. In all your conversations with the different winemakers and the wineries that you spoke with, Kathy, did you sense this to be the overwhelming consensus? Is this what winemakers were thinking? What was your take on this?
I mean, I think they're thinking that, well, I think there's some concern on the part of winemakers, like, will consumers be willing to pay a little bit more, or how are they going to, you know, continue to produce the wines at the prices that they're having to pay for the grapes and for the land and for the labor, because all those costs are going up. But I think there's, you know, conflicting viewpoints about, on the one hand, it's important to be able to sustain their business model, but on the other hand, you know, they're hoping that consumers will be able to willing to spend a little bit more, because consumers got used to some really good discounts during the recession, and I think we've all enjoyed that as wine drinkers, probably.
Oh, absolutely. But here is something that consumers need to understand, and this ties the restaurant aspect, it ties the winery aspect, and the price increases. As we see price increases coming out of Sonoma and coming out of Napa, it's not necessarily that the wineries are making more money. They are just trying to recoup their investments. So it's not like everyone's being gouged. It's not like there was a short vintage and everyone screamed, oh, great, let's go ahead, double our prices. We are, because, like you just said, all the ingredients that go into wine now are more expensive. So price has to go up to accommodate that. That's where you're going to see your restaurateurs look around and say, okay, well, I've hit this threshold. This wine is too high. I don't want to carry it. I'm going to carry some other import, some other strange thing where I can continue to make my money. I think we're on the cusp of having a disastrous cycle start, and I think what we need to do to rectify that is make sure that consumers understand that prices are increasing out of necessity, not out of greed. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Well, I usually don't state an opinion about it, but I think that you know, there really is truth to that. I mean, there's a lot of winemakers and wineries and grape growers that really struggled during the recession, and you know, it's forced some companies out of business. The fact that it was hard to sell their wines, and so you know, I think it's important for the industry to be able to continue to stay in business. So. It's been tough times.
Without a doubt. And looking at it from your perspective, it's great that even in the year you've been in it, you see the tough times that were there. It's not like you're walking into heyday, everyone's living like they're on the soap opera Dallas. You're still seeing the fact that some of these winemakers are struggling, are you not?
Yeah, that's definitely true. And, I mean, it's also been a few years here of short harvest, so there's less wine to go around, and it's just, you know, straight supply and demand. If there's not enough, then then prices go up. But it's also a cycle, so it's not necessarily like, you know, if prices go up, they'll be up forever.
No, as 2007 through today has actually proved, it definitely will be adjusting itself. All right, so we've seen prices inch up. I'm going to make you go out on a ledge. Are they going to continue to inch up? Are they going to jump up? What do you think we're going to see in the next 9 months, 12 months into next vintage?
It's hard to say, but, I mean, it seems like maybe just a short inching up. I don't know. I think a lot of it, what they kind of say, depends on what happens in the larger economy. I mean, there's so much volatility in Europe, and all of that has an impact. So I guess we'll see. I really don't know. I don't get the sense, though, that the prices are going to shoot up sky high anytime soon. Seems more like a gentle uptick.
Well, I will certainly keep my fingers crossed that your prediction is correct. Kathy, it has been lovely having you on the show today, and I wish you luck in your adventures, and we'll keep our eye out for more reports from you.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
It has been fun. Okay, everyone, that was Kathy Busowitz of the Press Democrat, taking a look at pricing, looking at it from a field level, boots on the ground in Sonoma. But it's always interesting to get that take and to look around and to have someone in the trenches and be able to see it from one side clearly. But it's interesting. We've seen the tree. Let's look at the forest. Let's look at it in broad strokes and, again, try and bring it back around. Prices are going up. I would like to think that our restaurateurs and our retailers are going ahead and subbing in a lot of these imports to, well, I don't know, protect the value consumer, to protect the idea that their consumer is coming to them because they want to make sure they're getting the best bang for the buck. I have a bad feeling, though, that a lot of times when we see price increases come and retailers and restaurateurs change their list, that it's more about writing glory list. It's more about putting things together that will make them proud of their list instead of taking advantage of what you know the consumer likes. We know the consumer likes price, we know the consumer likes value, and we know the consumer likes California. So when you put all these together, how come I am getting these unwieldy lists that have so much to offer that no one else knows? Again, you go back to the idea of why do we redo lists and why do we try and draw people in our restaurant? Generally, it's because of value. You want people to know that you are the best place on the block to get the best value. There is a small segment that really does go out to dine to be educated. And I think that these amazing lists that are being put together with the Sancerres, with all of the Argentinian wines, with all of the Burgundies, I do think they're there to educate and have sommeliers and people and wait staff that are hands-on to teach people about the wines. But ultimately, I want to throw something out there as we wrap all this up and put it together. As we see price increases, as we see list change, I am hoping to advocate for restaurants to cater to their consumers and to cater to their food. It's all about the dining experience and putting it together. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here on The Crush. When we return, we will wrap this show up and, of course, get your input into some other shows and get some ideas on what's coming down the pipe.
Stay with us for more of The Wine Crush, presented by Wines Till Sold Out at WTSO.com.
Great grape does not have to cost an arm and a leg. I want to tell all of my Wine Crush listeners about Wines Till Sold Out. Wines Till Sold Out offers great wines at 30 to 70% off. Just go to WTSO.com now to see the current deal. Juicy reds, crisp whites, champagne, and of course my all-time favorite, Chardonnay. Buy a few bottles or stock up for your next party. Wine Still Sold Out has all of your favorite varietals and favorite vintages from around the world. Plus, shipping is always free and you'll find unmatched customer service. That's WTSO.com. Fine wines, great prices, one at a time.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-800-497-9827. 1-800-497-9827. That's 1-800-497-9827. 1-800-497-9827.
How would you like to win all your groceries for a year absolutely free? You can, thanks to PRN, AARP, and Nationwide Insurance in the Win Groceries for a Year sweepstakes. It's easy to enter. Just go to goprn.com/fans, fill out the information, and soon we may be calling to tell you you've won free groceries for a year. No purchase necessary, must be 18 or older, official rules online or by mail if requested. Win groceries for a year at goprn.com.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-ya!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood. Hi-hi! Concrete. Hi-ya! Brick walls. Hi-ya! Trees. Hi-ya! Small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars.
It chops things!
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit InventNow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Now it's more of the Wine Crush, brought to you by Wines Till Sold Out, WTSO.com.
Welcome back to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. I know it seems like we have been all over the board today, but ultimately, all of this is being put together because of an email a listener sent me. An email wrote in from Caitlin. Shouldn't wine lists begin changing now that temperatures and crops are changing? And Caitlin, the answer is yes, it is. And from this comes today's show. It is that time where we start seeing transitions in the wine world. We start seeing heavier wines come out. We start seeing our spring wines go up in the closet until next year. And in doing so, now is the time people are cleaning house. So this is why I hit home today, and I implore all of our restaurants, let's bridge the gap between you and the consumer. The consumer who actually knows that they like California wines, that they understand, they think what they like until they're put in front of them. The consumer that's drinking 90% California wines. Let's put that bridge so that this consumer can come across to you and know that you have a plan for them. It is not necessarily some random strange wine from Alsace. It is something that you can put together as a whole package and present to them. Because ultimately, I am challenging you restaurateurs to create the ultimate dining experience. Number one, know the customer. Number two, know thyself. Know your food. Know what you're presenting. Know what you're offering and write your list accordingly. Number three, know your goal. Your goal is to make the consumer feel at home. Remember, they could buy their steak, they could buy their potato and buy their Cabernet and be sitting on their couch. They have decided to come join you. Make sure that once they join you, they're getting a nice warm welcome and they are getting exactly what they came from. I know it's hard to do, but ultimately, if you're pleasing the consumers, you're pleasing yourself, which means you're increasing the bottom line. If you're increasing the bottom line, you're increasing wine sales. If you're increasing wine sales, you're increasing wine drinkers in this country. If you increase wine drinkers in this country, you can increase the benefit to wineries, which means we'll have more outstanding wines for vintages to come. See, it's a grand, beautiful circle in which everybody can win before it's said and done. As always here on The Crush, we're reminding you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.